you.
No, Professor Crichton. I will not allow a thief into my blood that might try to rob my mind.
It's simply that we feel you're holding back from us.
Christy glanced at the clock.
I've been down here a long time, including the hour and more you kept me waiting. It's tiring. This is enough for today.
Surely you'll grant us another hour? This is only a talk between friends, is it not?
Frankly, no. This has become contentious. I want to go and get ready to greet Ryan and the others when they come back from the bear hunt.
Christy turned to see a young sec man standing at the open door, staring at Crichton, waiting for the order to come in. Crichton nodded, and the man marched smartly to the dais, lowering his head to whisper into his leader's ear. The professor waved a dismissive hand, and the sec man walked briskly out past Christy without even glancing in her direction.
I have just heard that the hunters chose to split up into three separate groups. Two out of the three have arrived safely from the heart of a severe snowstorm. The third one has not yet come home.
Who's in the third party?
Five of our sec men, Professor Dorothea Gibson, and the two outlanders named Trader and, Cordor.
Are they all right, Professor?
We don't know. I suggest we carry on until they get back. Then you can go and welcome all of them at once.
I don't think so. I think I'll go talk to my friends. Maybe we can resume tomorrow.
Very well. Tomorrow at 9?
At 9.
Mildred looked warily around a corner, at the very farthest end of the forbidden wing of the complex. Her hand dropped to the butt of her ZKR 551. About 20 yards away from her, there was a pair of the double swing doors that were familiar to her from her own work in pre-dark hospitals. Each of the doors had a large circular pane of glass at its center to avoid the danger of people bumping into one another. One of the doors had been propped open so that she could see beyond it to where a couple of sec men were sitting at a small table playing cards. What was particularly interesting to her was what she could glimpse behind the men. A heavily bolted door, painted pale green, with an iron grill in it. It wasn't the sort of thing that Mildred had ever seen in any hospital that she'd visited, but she had once seen a documentary about the women's prison at Tehachapi, and there'd been an awful lot of similarly barred and bolted doors in that. The snow was blinding, but it was just possible for Ryan to make out the blurred shape of a whirling, snarling, scratching bundle of dark fur that came bounding toward them. The wind dropped for a moment, and it was possible to glimpse their prey, lying twitching and scrabbling with its claws at the shattered ice, blood soaking into the smooth, dark fur.
I'll be hung, quartered, and dried for the crows. It's only a little cub!
Brunner was on his hands and knees at one side of the narrow trail, staring back into the cavern, his eyes wide and staring.
It wasn't any cub that killed Cook and Moore!
Ryan stood still, trying to see into the opening of the den.
There's got to be a mother in there, Trader. Shall we run or fight?
Trader was down on one knee, reloading the armalite, his eyes never leaving the cave.
We fight. If we try and run, she'll take us out from behind.
No! We gotta get out of here right now! Come on!
Brunner and the two unnamed sec men took off, blundering into the shroud of white that made rapid progress impossibly dangerous. Thea Gibson watched the sec guards flee. The dying cub made a last feeble effort to try to rejoin its mother within the cavern, struggling to its feet for a moment. It toppled forward on its face, breaking its prominent lower jaw.
Mama didn't like that sound.
Ryan dropped flat in the snow, gesturing for Trader and the woman to do the same. The mother grizzly emerged from the dark mouth of the cave, its head turning from side to side. It was difficult to make out any details through the blizzard, but Ryan was sure that the object in the muty beast's jaw was probably a severed human leg. The fleeing sec men, trying to run over the treacherous trail, drew her attention. The monstrous head moved slowly in their direction. For a second or two, the bear rose to her hind legs, towering close to 20 feet in height, her eyes glowing in the storm like beacons of insensate rage. Then she dropped to all fours and lumbered down the trail in pursuit of the humans that were responsible for the slaughter of her cub. In seconds, she vanished.
Now what, Ryan? See if we can get down the other side.
Will she catch my sack men?
Probably. A big grizzly can outswim and outsprint and outlast any man ever born over any distance you can think of.
The three of them stood close together, waiting and listening in the thick snow.
Is there nothing we can do?
Nothing, except go and die along with them.
She might come back to her dead cub as soon as she's finished the butchery. The sooner we find an alternative way out of here, the better.
The path wound around the side of the cliff, becoming markedly more narrow. As Ryan, in the lead, reached the sharp turn, the wind increased, blowing white-out snow into his face and eye, blinding him.
Shit!
Trader was following right at Ryan's heels and bumped into him when he suddenly stopped, knocking him a couple of clumsy steps forward.
Whoa!
Ryan's left foot slithered on a patch of ice, and his right foot landed on nothing. With a violent contortion that nearly pulled muscles in his back and shoulders, Ryan spun on his left foot, the sole of his combat boot whispering on the ice, teetering on the brink, his vision and brain filled with a tumbling, swirling whiteness.
I got you, buddy!
Ryan felt a tug on the strap of the Steyr across his shoulder, pulling him back from the endless fall to the invisible crags below him.
You people gotta be more careful!
Ryan dropped to his knees and tried to see if there was any way across the divide. But a rock slip had carved a slice out of the granite, clean as a razor cut, taking away the path for as far as he could make out.
No! No chance at all! We go back!
Ryan, Trader, and Gibson returned as far as the corpse of the young grizzly, now dusted with fresh snow.
Mama's coming!
Let's go hide back along the path! She might not scent us!
No fucking way, Jose! If she comes after us, we're in a single file! We can't shoot back! He'd swat us off like flies!
What about the cave?
Ryan considered the question. The massive, muty bear was lumbering ever closer and would be on top of them in a matter of seconds.
Good idea. I'll go in the cave. You each take a side. Chances are she won't spot you if I draw her attention. As soon as she's real close, open up on her with everything you got.
How about...
There's no time for anything else.
Ryan turned and ran past the dead cub into the cave. He could see enough to realize that he'd made the right decision, even though there wasn't enough room in the cave for all three of them to fight the grizzly. At the back, Ryan could see a wall of blank rock, water seeping across it, shining in the pale glow from outside. There was a pile of crushed bones in one corner. The urine stench of the animals was overlaid by rotting meat and offal. Ryan crouched, drawing the Sig Sauer and laying it on the damp stone, bringing the Steyr to his shoulder, his fingers settling lightly on the trigger. Outside, he was conscious only of a wall of unbroken white, which made him realize that there was a fundamental weakness in his plan. From where he was crouching, he couldn't judge the arrival of the giant grizzly. Thus, he wouldn't be able to distract it and lure it past the guns of the others. Ryan scooped up the Sig Sauer in his left hand and darted to the entrance of the cave. Peering into the windswept waste, he was just aware of Trader on his left side, flattened against the rock, Armalite at his shoulder. But the snow was too thick for him to see the woman. Then the she-bear was there, so huge that it blotted out what light remained. Ryan found himself staring into the bear's small eyes, mesmerized by the blood-clotted muzzle, the great curved teeth that were still gripping the neck, head, and shoulders of the Sekhman named Brunner. Below the chest were only strings of muscle and ragged tendons, the flapping of part of the wretched man's lungs, and the white of splintered ribs. Ryan fired, off balance and left-handed. The bear opened her jaws, dropping the poor remains of the dead man. For a moment, the grizzly started to rise onto her back legs, then changed her mind as her attention was caught by the figure of Ryan, crouched just outside her own den. Ryan backed into the cave, making sure the animal was following him. His feet slipped on a patch of frozen urine, and he nearly went over on his back, but he managed to fight for balance.
Come on, you bastard!
Ryan opened fire with a Steyr, shooting from his hip, as well as pumping lead from his handgun. From the mouth of the cave, Trader's Armalite and the lighter pecking of the woman's 22 opened up. The charging animal staggered, but its vast size and momentum seemed to have made it invulnerable. The arched roof of the cave was 30 or 40 feet high. When the grizzly reared up on its hind legs, it